Mastering Life After Athletics, written by Byron Williams, narrated by Mark Neely. Mistakes can equal to failure unless you welcome the opportunity of change. As a teen, I unconsciously did a vast number of foolish stunts. The most memorable one was at the age of 16 years. This particular episode could have landed me in jail for life. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but I'm about to break your heart. One fall evening, a close friend and I went to play ball at a local Catholic church in Detroit. This church was gracious enough to open their gym to the public as an attempt to keep black males out of trouble. Every week, we would play basketball at this church for a few hours at night with no problems. Unfortunately, this night changed both of our lives. Our team of five was playing some older dudes, about 21 to 25 years old. Since our team was winning, they began to threaten and bully us the remaining games. These thugs were obviously upset. We were beating them unmercifully each game. Finally, the ringleader promised to kick our ass at the end of the night. My boy Lee A and I were very angry and felt like we were being punks. It was time to go. I motioned Lee A to the car so we could leave in one piece. As we were leaving, the thugs taunted us by calling us punks, little bitches and hoes. We were totally disrespected. We got into my car and ventured back home in silence. Lee A and I devised a plan to scare the bullies. We walked in silence from the car to his front door in a hasty manner, not speaking a word. As we entered the house, his mom greeted us from the kitchen, which always had an aroma of gourmet food, with a smidgen of king-size Kools in a box, her favorite cigarettes. We both spoke in unison, "Hey, Ma," as we steadily made our way to Lee's room. Chapter 1. Springtime in New York City. The promise of summer just around the corner. Winter laid to rest for another year. For Samantha Carlson, spring meant New York at its finest. Trees sprouting green, their new leaves softening the harsh lines of the apartment and office buildings that surrounded Central Park, and the early morning smells. Pretzels, fresh brewed coffee, and dough rising in the bakeries. With the longer days came mild temperatures. When the mercury rose to a sensible level, Samantha dug her jogging shoes out and brought them back into active duty. Today was day one of the new year. She entered Central Park from East 16th Street and began to run. Slowly at first, her long blonde hair swaying in the breeze, then faster as she settled into a rhythm. She had the park mostly to herself, with only a few other intrepid souls braving the early morning chill. She checked her watch as she ran, 6 minutes after 5. Her breath missed as she exhaled, then disappeared behind her. She kept an even pace for the better part of 20 minutes, then she rounded the pond and cut north until she hit the transverse, then east toward the park boundary. She picked up the pace as 5th Avenue came into view, and then slowed to a marginal jog as she hit the sidewalk. By the time Samantha reached her apartment building on East 63rd, she was breathing normally. The doorman eased the door open as she approached. She slid effortlessly through and made for the elevators. "Morning, Miss Carlson," the building employee said as she passed. She turned, still moving. "Ernie, I keep telling you, it's Samantha." "Yes, ma'am," he smiled. They had this same conversation at least 200 times. There was no way he would ever call her by her first name. They both knew it. She disappeared into the elevator, and he looked back to the empty street. The elevator slid open onto the 18th floor, and Sam exited into the deserted hallway. Her apartment was the third on the left. She unlocked the door and let herself in. She added a bit more hot water to her shower than usual to take off the chill from her jog. 20 minutes later, she emerged from the bathroom, housecoat on, hair wrapped in a white towel. She stared at the telephone for a moment, then checked her watch. 6:24, and her voicemail light was flashing. Someone had called while she was in the shower. Early for a call, she thought. She punched in her code and hit the speakerphone button. A baritone voice enveloped the room. "This is Patrick Kerrigan calling for Samantha Carlson. Please call me at my office when you get this message. The number is..." She grabbed a notepad from the end table and jotted down the number. It was local, somewhere in Manhattan. She considered calling it immediately to see if he was actually up and at work yet, then changed her mind. The coffee was brewed, and Samantha settled into her favorite couch with the Daily Times.